Okay, cool. Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Provisional Nerf News Network podcast. I'm KT. I'm here with my co-hosts, JoltKing627 and VileMods. Say what's up, y'all.
Hello.
What up?
Anything new with y'all? Anything cool hobby stuff, cool non-hobby stuff going on? Anything big, exciting?
I drifted a vintage Max Force blaster.
Oh, wait, that's dope. Which one?
I think it's called the, like, Stinging Scarab or something. It's pretty cool.
Stinging Scarab, that sounds cool. Sounds like I should have picked it for, what's that blaster?
Probably except too old, probably wouldn't have a description or something.
Probably doesn't have a description, yeah. Vile, how about you?
Integration work. A lot of integration work. I'm actually making a lot.
Yeah, you've been real busy. You're way over 12% right now.
Yeah.
Going nuts.
Going ham on it. I'm actually redoing a whole portion. So this is a 2-year-old build, and I, you know, brought it out to finally get some more progress, and I'm redoing some things on it that people haven't seen yet. So hopefully,
why don't you briefly describe what it is for those who don't catch your Friday and Saturday night streams?
So I've had a very old integration of a Strife with a Hyperfire stock built into the grip. It has a Raider stock that goes over the top of it and a Rampage barrel shroud that's been flipped around. It becomes a full flat top. This, I even went to the extent of 3D scanning the Strife grip and the Hyperfire stock to see how to actually line them up properly. I just was like using all the cool toys when I was making it. So, but yeah, it's got a lot of doodads and stuff. Actually, Iron Gopher sent me out some things that I started putting onto it, and it's actually, I've made a lot of progress on it in the past month and a half.
Yeah. He has. It's almost disturbing. He must have been taking some of that medication.
Yeah, a little bit of the Adderall.
Well, it's looking great.
Thank you.
Excited to see it get from 12% to 24%.
Damn you.
Moving straight on into things, I want to try something a little bit different to start off the episodes. Normally when we make the news show, we have tons of people contributing lots of stuff in the Discord for the show, news stories. Sometimes it's just things like that blasters are available now that were announced a while ago. Sometimes it's just not everything makes the show, and it's really difficult sometimes to figure out what is and isn't a big enough story. I don't know. It's not even about stories being big enough. It's just like sometimes we've already reported on something multiple times, and like we assume that whoever is interested in it is already following it on their own, and so it doesn't make sense to devote show time to that thing. One of the things I want to start to do at the beginning of the podcast is just quickly shout out some of the stories that didn't wind up making the cut for the show that someone may still want to hear about, and hopefully they'll catch it in the first few minutes of the podcast, and it might be something that they don't know about, or that they were like waiting for an update on, and like it just didn't make sense to include the update in the show. It's also like you don't want to make a segment that's just like literally 5 seconds of someone being like, this blaster that we reported on previously is now on shelves. Like anything else you would put in that would be just like repeating the previous. We wound up throwing at the last second into the show. I say knowing fully well that I have not yet edited this part into the show. Mm-hmm. A quick segment on the
Ender Dragon
blaster appearing. But the reason we included that is we also learned how it loads, which has been a question since the leak, where we were like, where do the darts go in? And now we finally know. So that felt worthy of inclusion. And then the Transformers Warden sort of like rode in on its coattails.
And it, with together. Its insane price tag.
And yeah. It is ridiculously expensive.
Oh, God,
it's
yes.
$40 for a warden.
Let's take our most maligned blaster of the last like 5 years, slap a brand on it that not that many people care about, and charge like almost three times as much.
You probably just mortally offended Diesel.
It is. Sorry, Diesel. Okay. That said, here's my quick rundown of stories that didn't make the cut. Y'all feel free to jump in if you have any comments on them. But number one is the Dart Tech Hex. This is one of a series. I think they have four designs that they're slowly releasing. Dart Tech is a company that mostly is releasing product in Australia, which is kind of what makes them notable, since a lot of stuff is like difficult to get in Australia, a lot of Nerf stuff or whatever. This design is honestly pretty unremarkable. It's essentially a
it's a Reflex 6 but slide prime
made by a different a slide prime, and it has a rail on it. So Bots and Blasters got one, and it seems like he got it because somebody ordered it internationally and then probably returned it to a local Walmart, and it just wound up on shelves. So like we almost covered it, but it was kind of like, you know, like the fact that a few people have gotten access to this one in the US really seems like sort of a weird outlier. So we wound up cutting it. It does look cool. I still love the cosmetics of the Dart Tech line. The colors, the looks of them are really, really cool. But they just
this one
kind of
like a brick to me.
This is the least attractive one, I agree. But the colors are still nice.
I think the only difference was that it was a Springer, and Dart Tech's normally done flywheelers. Was that correct?
Yeah, that was their big thing on their Instagram post however many months ago.
Yeah, right. It was in March.
Which is another reason why we didn't cover it, is because
that was the other reason we didn't cover it, is this actually was announced in March. It's just that it has like weirdly trickled out around.
Yeah,
now.
And we missed it. So
the other thing that we skipped over is that the Elite 2.0 Contender is now on shelves. And even though we covered a lot of now on shelves stuff, that one, it came kind of late, and just like,
who cares?
Literally in the Discord, it got posted, and everybody, including I think Axel Sorex posted it. No, Fluff posted it. But everybody was kind of like, huh, that exists.
Yeah, nobody seemed to care.
No one really gives a crap.
Including the original poster was like, yeah, it's forgettable. But here it is. And so for anyone that doesn't know, the Contender is six shots. It's literally
it's pump action. It is also
basically a Reflex six, but pump action. It's just a six shot revolver. It has a weird stock, and it comes in that like Alpha Strike style packaging that sort of just wraps around it. It's like minimalist packaging. It looks like it's intended to be sold at like Dollar General.
Yeah, I'm just waiting with the Elite 2.0 stuff. Come on, Hasbro, get the Sly Shot and the Duo, please, over here to the United States. I know they've been seen in other countries. I would like those, please.
Nope. You get Contender. Actually, we don't even... This is in Canada. We don't even have the Contender in the U.S. as far as I know.
Big loss.
Anyway, so that's why we skipped over that. And then finally, also Blaster Bash, the Dart Zone event that should... was it booked for
Sunday or something?
I think it was I think it was like the 11th or something. Anyway, it got postponed to early August.
That's just what they want you to believe. It was actually canceled because no one bought tickets.
I mean,
well, that is entirely possible.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, you know, like we said, like early on, I noticed that a couple of the ticket slots disappeared. And I initially thought that might be because the late ones filled up because people were hoping to like be closer to the zombie thing because the scheduling didn't make any sense. This was like before the podcast episode came out. It's possible that they just pushed it back because they weren't selling enough tickets. They claimed that it was because the weather was expected to be bad this last weekend. And we did have there was some like storming in a lot of different places in the US, but I don't know what the weather was like in Colorado. So, regardless, it's moved to August, and it's interesting. I mean, this lends some credence to your suggestion that they would move it like 2 months. Although it may just be that the stadium wasn't available anytime in July.
Honestly, that's probably what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. We just kind of skipped over this because, like, we've already given Blaster Bash so much airtime, and
no, just please no.
I just don't have anything else to say about it at this point. It's just kind of like, okay, it's going to happen or it's not going to happen, and it's going to be what it is. And I'm curious to see how it comes out, but I'm just done talking about it until it actually happens. So those are the news stories that did not make the cut this week. And we can move on to things that we are a little bit more excited to talk about. This week's sort of breaking, exciting, brand new story, brand new, shiny, delicious story. The Dart Zone Pro Max Outlaw, of which we have one picture of what looks like a render, and it's a cell phone picture of a target scanner. And when I was editing it into the show, I was getting these weird moire effects that was like making it look all wavy.
Thank you, Chicken Master, for getting us that.
Chicken Master 99 does amazing work bringing us this stuff. Reflected overhead lights and all. And it is a Hammer Prime. It's a Hammer Prime
six round
sidearm. Yeah, revolver.
It's a deuce butt Hammer Prime and looks really uncomfortable. Uncomfortable.
It's weird. I feel like the grip looks nice, but it's hard to see the hammer angle working.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like the grip itself looks fine. Like, sure, cool, comfortable grip. Now, how do you reach the hammer? Enjoy.
Yeah, which seems to be a common problem with hammers lately.
But even this one is just like the most recent example I could think of this is like the Thunder Shot. Even that one was like looking better than this.
Well, there's also the Flint Knock.
Oddly enough. Yeah.
The Flint Knock has a super weird hammer, and now obviously that one is trying to look like the Fortnite source material.
But it has an excuse.
It's literally the hammer is literally like a cube on a stick and you cannot reach it from the grip at all.
I mean, I can. It's just really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah. The other really big question about the Outlaw, and I want to know what y'all's predictions on this are, is whether or not the cylinder is swappable. It's weird to imagine that they would make a non-swappable cylinder blaster with a cylinder that looks like the swappable cylinder they already have when they already have, you know, they already have the technology, right?
But yeah, I don't see any reason to change.
But it doesn't come with an extra cylinder.
I think that might have been their effort to get it to be a lower price. Maybe.
I mean, there's a lot that can come, because based on how the hammer system works in it, they might not be able to be swappable. Because if it is like Hammer Prime, like, let's just take the hammer shot, right? Like,
honestly, cylinder, that's the biggest question, though. How does it work?
Yeah, how does it work? How does the hammer rotate it? Does that potentially make it where it can't be swapped? You know, maybe it has to be hard mounted in, and they're going to have to leave it to the community to figure it out. Maybe it was too much. And same thing, like Jolt's even saying, just to keep the cost down, maybe they couldn't. Maybe that is another option for it, you know?
Like, the biggest thing here is, like, I'm looking at the back end of that, and it looks very short. So where'd the plunger go? This looks shorter than a hammer shot. So is it, like, a really wide, really short draw plunger tube? And then if so, are they firing directly out of the cylinder, or do they still have like the same breech mech from the deuce? Because that requires a good amount of draw that I don't see space for.
Yeah.
This one's definitely a mystery, and I can't wait to see the internals and see how well it performs just at all, if it even performs. That's another thing with hammer actions. There's like one person on God's green earth that can make one hit over 100 FPS, and that's radioactive.
Right. Right. I do enjoy that. I feel like we've had a lot of blasters lately that we've looked at and gone, okay, what's going on here? Because like the Zuru long shot created a lot of questions, because it was, you know, the
barrel through plunger.
And we spent like two or three podcast episodes debating how the double punch worked, and we were wrong on every attempt.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just feel like there's been a lot of stuff like that. Obviously there's plenty of Elite 2.0 contenders as well, but
we don't
want to
talk about the contender though. That one's boring.
But I'm just saying, like, it is nice that there are a lot of interesting things happening even out of the major brands right now that are interesting to
talk
about.
They're trying new things, and that's kind of fun. And what I mean, because you have to think, older Nerf stuff was a lot of weird gimmicks, and people kind of worked and played within those gimmicks and either expanded upon them, modified them, created them, recreated them, made 3D printable variants of them. Like, seeing them,
I want more gimmicks. I'll just say straight up, I want to see more Hasbro gimmicks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the double punch is exactly that. You know, it's another weird gimmick. But the thing is, it is nice seeing so many of these companies still trying something different. Even if it's a pro line, it's trying something different. You know, both obviously the Zero Long Shot, this outlaw thing, whatever the heck's going on in the inside of it. You right. know, like there is both between the toy level and the pro level stuff, there is a lot of weird and interesting things that is really cool seeing like coming down the line, because it hasn't changed, right? They didn't just stick to the formula and just, you know, beat it to death. They did it, you know, got good at it, and then just moved on to some other interesting stuff. And that's nice to see.
Well, and even the outlaw is, if it is, it'll be interesting to see how related it really is to the Deuce. Cause obviously it's analogous to the Deuce, but, there's a lot of new design language here. Even within the Dart Zone Max world, there's a lot more white on this blaster. It is much more sort of sci-fi. It looks kind of like a spaceship from Halo, but white.
I like that. I like that they're moving a little bit more away from the dictator kind of. It looks slightly more firearmy. I think
it's almost, like they're afraid that they're going to get in legal trouble with the government by creating toys that look like firearms. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, I wonder about that.
I don't know why they would think that. Who knows what could possibly be going on that would cause us to spend days working on a video outside of
He watched way too much
schedule.
C-SPAN. I think he might have lost his marbles.
Yeah, and I've freaking double watched it alongside with KT.
Vile was right.
I would say I'm the only sane person here, but I think we all know that I'm not sane either.
I think we know that's not true.
That is not true.
Okay, so tied into this, the Zuru Longshot is now very present. It's popped up in a bunch of different places.
It's everywhere. I'm seeing it even in Detroit.
A lot of creators now have them, and there's quite a bit of video content out there already.
Modding content?
I've watched some of those videos.
I've watched basically all of them.
You've seen all of them. What do you think about the way that the hobby is reacting to this? Because again, the Zuru Longshot is, for all intents and purposes, like, you know, when the Nexus Pro came out, the performance that it offered at its price point was kind of the thing that made it such a dominant force in the hobby, for better or for worse, for a while. This does something similar, but at an even lower price point.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like conflicted on this. Like, it'll do some good things for the hobby, but then also I'm worried about the durability, because like we've already seen at least one person get one and have the plunger tube shatter.
Right.
But, I mean, that's the durability, like the Nexus Pro, when people were snapping the, you know, buffer tube off of it.
Well, that's the thing. The buffer tube on the Nexus Pro, that didn't happen unless you really abused it after a while, or you upgraded the spring and didn't reinforce it. With this, I mean, this happened like a couple days after the first ones were showing up. I don't even think was modified.
This is hard because, you know, we just had that thing happen with the Harrier where someone put like 5,000 shots through it and then was like, it broke. And it's like, well, yeah, you put 5,000 shots through it.
I don't think there was enough time for someone to even put that many shots through this.
Do we know the situation behind someone who had their plunger tube
shatter? A single case of a plunger tube being cracked is not indicative of there being a widespread problem. It's the same. This could be, and even people were speculating. I saw some of the speculations on that it could have been shattered during, you know, transportation, shipments, stuff like that. You know, there could be a number of reasons as to why. It might have been broken from factory and never and unfortunately passed QC. That can happen. Now,
I'd look at the original Reddit post, but r/nerf is gone.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's true. A whole other thing.
But that does mean, like, that what I would look at it is, okay, be cautious of this because this might be a weak point. I'm not saying we should just like discredit that being a problem, but it is something we should keep an eye out, because so far out of the modding stuff that we've seen, they can handle pretty decent amount of upgrade with just swapping of like two parts, you know,
at least for the few mags that have been put through the ones I've seen modded, yeah, they seem to be pretty, they can take a beating. The K25 and
I also longer barrels. I want to know a little bit more because of that failure, right? Sometimes, you know, usually before blasters get completely packed up, they might have to go through QC. And it makes me wonder if that buffer spring that's inside of it, like in the plunger tube, if that somehow caused the crack. If, you know, maybe when the plunger hit it into that spring, did it expand it enough and it caused a crack on the side? I don't know. I'm curious because it's something that we haven't seen before, is using a spring instead of just, you know, foam or like silicone padding or something like that, you know?
It's kind of smart when you think about it. It looks pretty interesting. And if it works, it works, I guess.
I'm still in the boat with you, though. They should have made sure it was connected and not free-floating like it is.
Yeah. That I'd just still find seems that like weird. Such an easy thing to fix.
Yeah.
I mean, the cool thing is, if we're curious about this concept, one thing we could do is just try it. Like, yeah, there's probably an opportunity somewhere in a mod that you're doing to just, like, take a little bit of some spring that doesn't fit anything, or one of those leftover bits of spring, bend down the ends and see if it works.
Actually, I've mentioned this before. We were having a conversation about it. I think it was me and Joel. Other blasters, if you are out there and you have blasters and you scrap blasters, there's a few of them that actually have very short springs that are kind of like that. I think the Thunderbow is one that has an interesting, like, small spring, which can work in smaller plunger tubes, like maybe Retaliator sized. And then some of the Busby stuff has it, and it's for like the rotating cylinders and stuff like that. Like, they have these weird springs, and those can fit in larger ones. And there are springs that we already have in blasters that people probably have laying around that they don't do anything with. You know, might be a good opportunity to give it a shot. See if it works.
Makes sense to me. I mean, that's one of the things that's beautiful about this hobby. Like, if you have a question and you can get the materials, just, I don't know, mess around with it, see if you can figure it out.
Maybe sure, why not?
What are you gonna do? You're gonna break a toy? Big deal.
Exactly. Oh no, it was $30.
I mean, $30 is a lot for some people, but I mean, you'd probably thrift it, you know, like, whatever.
I meant the long shot, which, like, that's the other cool news is that we thought it was going to be, like, $40 US.
Yeah, I was expecting...
No, it's 30!
Yeah, it was even cheaper stateside by pretty substantial, because originally it was, like, 30, 36 or 35 pound or 36 pound or whatever, which would have made it closer to 40 something. I saw the person who corrected us on that, because I think I had said euro as opposed to pound on that article or on that segment, and then we get it, it's 30, and it's like, oh my god, that is so much, that's even cheaper than I was expecting. And
that's the only thing that can compete with that price range is the Aeon, and that's like a glorified pistol.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's a top prime, it's not a bullpup, you know, like front.
Well, I like the Aeon, like most people don't.
Yeah,
but a lot of people are gonna love the long shot.
I think it's just, I think it's such a cool design. I think obviously we are going to get a lot of people who are going to instantly start doing the mods. If you haven't seen them, for anybody who's not aware, typical mod is to swap the spring out with a, something like a K25 or specifically the SF25 from Silver Fox. They'll swap it out with one of those. And I think it's for the Talon Claw. I'm pretty sure it was the Talon Claw.
Yeah, that's the one that Fallon used.
Yeah, because I think Walcom also did the same thing that Fallon did. And basically just drop in a Kiriaka barrel, and that's it. And was getting 200-something-odd, you know, FPS. I don't even remember what the numbers were. They were pretty,
I think they were getting into the 220s.
Yeah, they were getting 220s and up. Like, they were incredibly high.
Walcom got higher numbers, it looks like, which is very strange.
Well, and they were... Well, his spread was pretty far, too, though. He had, like, 250s and then down to, like, low 200s. So there was a pretty far spread, and they were all Adventure Force, not, like, Gen 3 plus workers or something, you know? So
that might also change. Man, you got to get yourself some worker darts. They're better.
There's a reasonable argument for, like, most people are going to have these darts, and so it's reasonable to do testing with those darts. it depends on your audience, right? Like, yeah. I mean, I think that it's worthwhile to do testing with multiple dart types, but that is expensive. You have to have all those darts in stock all the time. You have to spend the time doing it. And then you have to edit your video in a way that shows that you did all that testing while also still being entertaining to watch. So it's a tough balance. I understand that.
So do I. I've done that same thing on a video, and I hate it having to edit
that. It's just like, one other thing about the long shot. How do y'all feel about the name?
It's definitely been causing
a lot
of...
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah, I think it's funny that they took an old... Obviously, like...
How dare they steal the name from a Nerf Nitro single shot blaster?
Oh,
how
man.
Dare they?
I was holding that joke in reserve, and I had a feeling you would bring it up before I
actually have one of those, surprisingly.
I have one, too.
It's not that bad, especially with the locks
but yes,
removed.
It is. This is the third long shot, not including all the variations on the original CS6.
Yeah. I do think it's funny that people now have to clarify, and there's still not a consensus on what to call it. Like,
yeah,
so many people, like, they're abbreviations or, you know, X shot, long shot. Do you have to say the whole thing?
Yeah.
Do you do this? Like, it's really funny to kind of see the...
I do think Zuru Long Shot has the best ring to it. I think that's the best sounding variation name.
Yeah.
I think I've seen it put as like XLS or ZLS or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. As opposed, of course, to the NLS, the Nitro Long Shot, which is, of course, the most important and legendary of all the long shots. It does make me want to take like a Nitro Long Shot and just like mod like a micro, like a Zuru micro shot into it or something, and have my own Zuru long shot.
Do it.
That'd be pretty fun. It would be fun, actually. You know, it'd be really great. Someone, I can't wait for someone to do an integration of all three long shots.
Oh my
God. Grim, if you're listening, this is an idea for you.
By saying that, I realize that I have doomed one of you to do it.
Grim, you. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out, Grim.
No, you can't call out Grim on that. It's Springer. It's Springer Master Race. You can't get Grim on this.
Ah, you said, but you see, here's the thing. KT only specified that you have to use all three of those. KT did not specify what the internals are firing.
It doesn't. Oh. It doesn't have to be a Springer.
It's fair. Fair. I think it to add the complexity, it has to remain a Springer with integration.
Well, you definitely could put a maybe you could just get the Nitro Long Shot in there as like an underslung, as like a master key that just shoots nitro.
Oh my God.
Nitro master key.
I think somebody made one of the nitro car like launcher things as like an underslung, and it still fired the cars in a integration. I think someone actually did that once.
I hope so. I freaking hope so. Okay. So, with that all being said, it is time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast. What's that blaster? The game where one of us specifically does not name, but reads the official Nerf Hasbro description of a blaster from sometime in the history of Nerf, with some choice bits removed to hide the identity of the blaster. And the rest of the team tries to guess. If the team is able to guess what the blaster is, they get 4 points each. They can choose each of three lifelines, losing one potential point for each lifeline that they ask for. Those lifelines are the original retail price, the original stock capacity, and the release year.
Why do I get the feeling that I'm gonna get paid back for my choice?
I'll be honest, the one that I picked, it could go either way, but I'm okay. I'm open to that. The current score is Jolt in the lead with 18, me close behind with 17, and Vile and Grimms are tied at 13. I think we'll probably say again that if we get it this time, we'll just give Grimms points since he's not available today. And it would just be unfortunate for him to fall behind for no reason. But also, last time, nobody scored. So
because I picked a blowgun.
The stupid blowgun.
My proudest moment. My proudest moment.
I'm sure. So if y'all are, hold on, do I have the side info? Yes. Okay. If y'all are ready, I'm ready. It's because it's my turn to pick. I don't know if I said that, but it's my turn to pick.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Blast the most accurate Nerf ammo with the first Nerf series blaster. The name blaster comes with quantity of ammo that are designed for accuracy and are the most accurate Nerf ammo. Go long and go strong on the battlefield with the name blaster. It's the longest Nerf blaster of all, measuring 41 inches, 1 meter, when extended. Slide the barrel to adjust the length, load the capacity, dart indexing clip into the blaster, and get ready to take on opponents with bolt-action blasting. Carry it into battle when the action demands mobility, and use the bipod to stabilize it for distant shots in a fixed position. Accuracy based on test data comparing precision and repeatability of darts fired under controlled conditions at target 30 feet, 9 meters away. See nerf.com for details. Apply ability to target will vary depending on user skill, dart condition, and other factors.
Thunderhawk.
Thunderhawk. As soon as you said sliding barrel, I knew what it was.
Thunderhawk. I'm calling it right there. Thunderhawk.
Oh, yeah, it's Thunderhawk. Final answer, Thunderhawk.
If it's not, I swear to God.
God, I wish it wasn't. No, it absolutely is. So,
I have so many of these Thunderhawks. I've like, when you were labeling, I was like, yep, got that bipod. Yep, clip. Yep, there's the bolt. Yep.
So what I was hoping, because the longest blaster has changed a few times over the time. So I was hoping you'd at least need to ask for the year, but
nah, sliding barrel definitely gave it away.
That was a pretty easy one.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I was reading it, I was like, oh, this is a little easier than I thought it was. That's okay. So, well, good job.
That's probably
everybody.
The fastest I've ever answered.
I was going to say it, but you said it first.
I'll be honest. That was the fastest I have ever answered. And I was almost willing to cut you off to be like, I already know what it is. But I was like, I'll just let him finish for everybody else.
That one was too easy, KT. That one was too easy.
Yeah, that one was too easy. Oh, well.
Was throwing me off because of how much it was talking about accurate. I was like, okay, so it's probably part of the AccuStrike line or something
like
that.
Well, the Thunderhawk is. Yeah, it literally is.
But I was thinking of the actual, not mega, but of just the regular elite darts. So I was thinking of AccuStrike, you know, Raptor Strike or something like that. But then it started getting more and more weird. And I was like, longest? Well, that was weird. Oh, okay. There's the barrel. Okay. And it just started like making it easier. I was like, oh, now yeah. I know what it is.
It's a pretty long description, too. At least I got to read the legalese part. That was fun.
That was fun. Yeah. That was a good one.
All right. Well, everybody gets 4 points. And that means that everybody is tied at 17 except for Jolt, who has 22.
Uh-oh, KT, I caught up to you.
Hope you're proud of yourself, Jolt.
No comment.
Okay, moving on to our next topic. End Wars rules came out, and that got dropped in the Discord, which actually I guess also qualifies as a story we didn't cover. But I did want to talk about it in the podcast because the changes are interesting. The first thing that I noticed with this, you know, it's a Google Doc, which is fine. And last year's were posted in the same thread for a comparison. Thank you, Siva Experiment, for digging some of this up. Last year's, you know, like looking at 2023 compared to 2022's rules, they are a complete rewrite. And we realized pretty quickly that is because it is not actually End Wars rules. It is the rules of the local club slightly modified to account for being a larger event. Right. Which makes sense. They've established a lot of specific things that have to do with their play site, with their community. And it makes sense to retain that information. But it is a pretty thin rule document, all told. And there were a few things that really stuck out that I thought we might want to talk about.
You know, there's one I want to talk about.
Yeah. I know there's one you want to talk about. So, you gotta save. You may not have learned this yet, Jolt, but anticipation is.
Know when to hold them. Know exactly. When to fold them.
So anticipation is what we need here. You know, normal bandana stuff for zombies, all that stuff is the same, I believe, as what we're used to seeing at pretty much every HVZ. But then we get down to the bottom of the team section, and it says the OZ will not be used in this game. Any where do the zombies come from? Anybody got any ideas how that works?
Maybe it's that it's starting with multiple human teams, and it works like zombie team deathmatch, where you shoot at each other, and then whoever gets shot turns into the first zombies.
That's possible.
I have no idea.
Or maybe there's just a mission at the beginning, and whatever team like fails the mission, does worst at the mission, becomes the OZs or something.
I have no idea.
I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting strategy, right? Because like it feels like having OZs is such a core part of what makes the game sort of like fun for everyone.
Yeah.
Is that like, you have people who make the choice to do that.
Yeah. Like Teacup, for those who don't know, that's my wife. She wanted, like, if we wanted to do HVZs, she wanted to be an OZ. That was like her main goal, was that she wanted very desperately. She's like, if we ever get a chance to do this, I want to be an OZ. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. You know, usually you get like special,
you get
head bandanas, you get special patch, or you get something like that for being an OZ. And by pulling that out, that's kind of weird, because some people like being an OZ. So that's a really strange change.
I assume there's some game design function going on here, but like there's no explanation of it, because, you know, as usual, there's nothing about the story in here. But I think it's very noteworthy. Like, I'm not willing to just say that it's bad. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're doing something awesome. But like it's just one sentence at the bottom of the team's thing. They didn't even punctuate it correctly. I don't know. Very weird. You can't wear masks because of North Carolina law. Makeup and face paint within reason is fine. COVID masks are fine. Ghillie suits are prohibited. Tactical vests are not allowed to be worn. There's been a lot of discussion about this line.
The chest rigs park, yeah. Because I know there are a lot of people who like to run those for HVZs, carry all those bags on the front.
Well, and there's already a lot of talk, you know, in our Discord threads where they're coming back to them and asking, like, what if it's brightly colored? What if it's...
Well, Nerf has their own, you know, variants of it. What gets me as well is that also is limiting to the heavies, because remember, a lot of times in HVZs, there's a heavy like who typically has all of the ammo, and people can literally go and they can give them like an extra mag or two to restock if they need it.
Right.
Like, that's also, it's weird, because again, you're kind of changing up some of the game and play styles that people, you know, have kind of built their entire, you know, loadout around.
Yeah, it really does have a game impact. It's not just a dress code impact.
Yeah.
So that is interesting. And I mean, like, you know, there's probably other ways to carry a bunch of ammo, but like, yeah, people have built whole loadouts around this.
Well, they use Molly for a lot of stuff, and it's very easy to just throw a chest rig on that's got Molly, and then they could just throw all of those mag holder things that they could just buy off Amazon or whatever. And again, they've been spending years and a lot of money, you know, building them up. So that does kind of, you know, hinder a lot of people, and they have to now scramble if they want to do this to build something within the rule set. So
and then we get down to Jolt's favorite part, blaster restrictions. All of this is pretty normal, except when we get to FPS cap of 130 feet per second, which is one of the normal FPS caps. Players may not use full vinyl jacket,
which makes sense.
Hyper, other hard plastic tip darts, or Nerf Ultra is specifically excluded.
Which is the odd thing here, because like all the rest I can see, FVJs, obviously, no, those are dangerous. Hyper, environmental concerns. A lot of clubs ban them just because there's no way you're recovering them. Ultra, though, why? That is my question. Why? What logical reason do you have to ban this ammo type? There is none.
It's not like
it's strange.
Overpowered.
Like can you think of any possible reason why it would be banned? Other than someone personally just being like, oh, Ultra's bad, like half the community wants to be.
There could be some idea that like the body is harder, but it's really not. Like it's such a lightweight material that like even if a dart somehow manages to fly backwards at you, it's not going to feel really any different.
No, they have like no weight to them. And the heads are super duper squishy.
I mean, like, we've seen Vortex discs, like the off-brand ones are no different than FVJs when it comes to how hard they can actually be.
Totally.
Yeah, Vortex, if you're going to ban anything, ban Vortex.
I mean, Vortex discs already only get away with how hard they are because they travel so slow.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but again, if you know, Ultra, why if Ultra? You're still within the 130 FPS cap, Ultra is still kind of like you said, it's so light that it's not really... It's
no worse than any other dart type.
Yeah, to be honest, getting hit with a rival ball at 120 or 130 FPS is going to...
It'll probably hurt more.
It probably hurt,
because
quite a lot
it doesn't
more.
Squish as much.
Yeah, it doesn't squish as much, and it's. I'd have to look at it on weight, because they might even almost be comparable, to be honest.
I don't know what's going on here. I know Drac has some kind of vendetta against Ultra. Maybe that's it. Maybe it was an existing club rule.
Well... Again, that's the thing, right? Like, we don't know. I was hoping that somebody could find... I put this out to the Discord to see if anybody could get their hands on the, like, previous rules from this group, from Charlotte's Invitationals, or, you know, we're looking at previous End War rules, but again, they're just from a different organization. So, we don't really know. It doesn't exist... in previous End War rules, as far as I can tell. Let me double check that. Homemade HP internals. Approved ammunition. Darts. Stock style Elite. Waffle style darts. Koosh AccuStrike. Dart Zone Adventure Force. Half length. Cut down or otherwise legal darts. Band ammunition. Full vinyl jacket. All nipple darts. Homemade darts. Any dart whose tip does not squish or seems hard. It literally doesn't mention Ultra last year's.
Yeah, that's just really weird.
Yeah, there is one thing that I can think of, and that I think I had heard that some older HVZs had a thing with where they would have to get each ammo type approved.
Right.
So it may be that Ultra was too new and they haven't actually bothered to go to their campus and say, hey, can we actually use these or something?
Yeah.
And since no one... runs Ultra except for like me and like three other people.
They didn't bother. Maritime Foam did at UMBC.
Yeah, he's included in the other three people.
Survived almost the entire event too.
Yeah, it's almost like Ultra isn't bad.
Imagine that. It's almost like it's just a dart.
Yeah.
Right?
Weird.
So that's weird. Yeah. Also really enjoyed this line that's right after that that says all deployable remote-operated Nerf equipment, i.e. attack nids, must be physically tethered to the operator at all times.
What is an attack nid?
Wait. So, I actually know what this is, because weirdly I picked one up in a free pile. They're little walking robots that shoot foam discs. And they're very small. And they're designed to play in a game against each other where you take two of them and they have like armor you can knock off. So if you can like hit one from another one, you can like knock the armor off and score points. I do not see any way that they could possibly be useful in an HVZ.
I don't either,
but it's like
they are not good. They're not good in any way. They are designed to shoot at each other. They are cumbersome little robots. I don't understand why they're listed here.
It might be more against things like the Terra drone or the Terra scout or whatever, which like, I know. Don't some college, I think some college campuses have rules against like RC planes and drones. And
if they mentioned the Terra scout, I would understand that. That thing drives pretty fast. Like you could potentially come up with a functional use for the Terra scout.
The issue of course would be people tripping over them, which is I think what the reasoning behind banning these is.
Yes. Well, and again, if it has to be physically tethered to you, what does that mean? If I tie a long ass string to my Terra Scout, and I drive it out there, I've now made a tripping hazard.
Oh no. What? Now you gave people ideas. Thanks, KT.
No, this is white hat hacking of the rules, Joel. This is important cultural work. I don't understand this at all. It's very strange. I don't understand why you wouldn't just ban them. Like, what really weird specific situation happened at a Charlotte event to cause that rule to come into existence?
Maybe they just need to make sure people can have their emotional support death drone.
Yes.
Someone
just wants their attackant with them. Very strange. Also, they allow blowpipes.
Yikes. Just kidding. I just don't like blowpipes.
The 2022 rules explicitly ban them, but these ones allow it as long as they're, and just says they're subject to the same rules of modification as blasters.
I just don't like blowpipes because they're kind of gross in an age of COVID. Should we really be, you know, you're blowing things with your mouth. There's spittle going everywhere. Also, if someone runs into you, your teeth are going out.
That is a real issue.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I wouldn't do it. I don't understand it. It's a cool technology. It's fun to play around with at home, but like,
also they're illegal in a couple states apparently.
Oh really? Even for shooting Nerf?
Yeah, that was the thing that I told you in the last what's that blaster, is that it wasn't sold in like Washington DC, Maryland, and I think California, right? Because blowguns are illegal.
That's right. Okay, respawn stuff looks pretty normal. What was the other thing that was really weird? I guess that was the bulk of it. Those were the weirdest things. They have a whole section on interacting with the police. Seem like they mentioned the police a lot in these rules. Like things require like law enforcement confirmation, and there's a whole section on interacting with the police. So, yep, it's just really different. I think it's interesting that they sort of don't. Like I said, like, it makes sense that as a major event that moves from location to location, that you would base your rules around the rules of the current of like the home site.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, you know, one of the things that they link to, of course, is RIT's the Rochester rules. And it's like a nice PowerPoint that, you know, just looks really good. Kind of covers everything, has graphics and explanations of how things work. Although this is more like probably their rules briefing, you know, that they use. So anyway, yeah, I thought that was interesting. I think the ban on Ultra is super interesting and weird. Sorry, Joel.
I wasn't planning on attending anyway.
I know you
were
really excited to be at End War and shoot lots of Ultra.
I totally wanted to go to Enwar, and I was definitely interested in running Ultra at it.
This rule was a direct attack on Jolt.
Yes, I am being discriminated against.
The direct attack on Jolt specifically to make sure that we ban Jolt from ever coming to this event. That's what this rule actually says.
We know how to keep Jolt out.
We know how to keep Jolt. Just ban Ultra. You'll never have Jolt King ever show up to your event.
How long until you change your name to Ultra King 67?
Ending End Wars. They're trying to take my Ultra.
Have you made a Jolt that shoots Ultra yet?
Yeah.
Okay. I figured, but
it just needs
to be confirmation.
It needs to be Ultra King. Just call it Ultra King 627 from now on. That's the name change.
No.
The brand change.
No. I just got my new Discord username. I'm not changing it.
Oh, it's too late now.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, no.
I got mine, Ultra King. Vile, have you gotten yours?
Oh, I got mine before all of you did, actually. I just didn't say anything. Okay. I have the older account out of y'all.
Yeah. I joined Discord pretty late. Although not as late as I thought, I guess. I joined, there was like a band that I was friends with that started a Discord, and I joined to be in there before I did any Nerf or music stuff of my own on Discord. Anyway, for our last topic today, I wanted to try and end with something a little fun. I was thinking it might be good to end our episodes with a little round robin question or prediction. And this Fortnite, I wanted to get your thoughts on X-Shot skins. So we've seen, you know, Sonic tie-ins and
Poppy more play Sonic
tie-ins. And then Poppy's
Playtime.
Poppy
Playtime. There's like 9 million skins of it, too.
Yeah. Well, isn't there another tie-in, though? Okay, first of all, Poppy's Playtime, that is weird.
That was extremely weird.
No one saw this coming, and now there's like 15 of them.
Yeah.
So there was 5 skins that I was able to find on that one website. I can't even remember right. which one it was. And then I also obviously Faye found the dread one.
The dread.
And but it's just the dread one is just a same variant that's in the Fluxes. So it's, you know, there's not really a difference. It's just it's right. put on another blaster. But again, it's really weird. And I've seen Poppy's Playtime. Like it is actually a really it's a fun game, but it looks like scary at the same time. Like it's yeah. kind of a horror type of game, and it's just kind of a weird tie. Because if you look at the when I got the better image, you can see the actual artwork on them. And besides the jump scare one with the like jagged teeth, from I think it's Huggy Wuggy or whatever was the character's name, the rest of them are all really cute. And that's the thing, is like there's a mix between like they're supposed to be these cute looking characters, but they're also really kind of demented at yeah. the same time. And yeah. so all of them have the cute variants. We've seen at least one that is not the cute variant. And it's like, yeah. are you going to have more that are going to be creepy?
Yes, more of them, because that's what we needed, is more of these.
I mean, I'm not going to complain. I mean, like, again, Poppy's Playtime was a good game. It's just...
Okay. But okay, here's the thing though, right? So we got that, we got Sonic, and what else have we gotten? That's like a tie-in.
I think that's it.
Isn't that it? So
yeah, the rest is just their normal skins, which there are a ton of them.
My question is, what X-Shot's tie-in themes would you like to see for X-Shot skins? What would you enjoy?
Well, we got to rule out the obvious ones that would never happen, like anything Hasbro has as a property.
Let's just do Nerf X-Shot skins. Just slap, just like put the N-Strike logo on there.
Star Wars.
Let's do the Jolt King signature X-Shot skins blaster, which is just
black and yellow.
It's a Reflex 6 just, that literally just has the N-Strike logo on the side. And it's all yellow and black.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm sure no problems would arise from that.
Amazing.
Thinking about the themes that they've already had, right? Like Sonic, I feel like Sonic is a game that I associate with my generation. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like hard to figure out who the audience is for X-Shot skins, right? I mean, I'm not even going to rule out things, right, because the other thing that we've had is like FaZe Clan.
Yeah.
We had like streamers.
We had Ninja.
Yeah, they all had tie-in ones.
What's with this gamer stuff? What crossover is there between gamers and people who buy X-Shot?
Well, if you look at Zuru and like what X-Shot, what they do is they go for, you know, TikTok and Instagram and really like influencers of a certain age demographic. If you look at where they really push pretty heavily on, and a lot of them are people like, you know, Ninja or FaZe Clan or whatever, it's not like they don't know their demographic necessarily. It's just that I don't know what the tie-in is with streamers or competitive gaming orgs. Like, that's a really kind of odd one. I do understand, like, even Poppy's Playtime and Sonic. Okay, so you're trying to get franchises. I don't expect to see a Mario skins. That was the other one. They did do this weird game, like, themed looking one, because they had one that looked like the old, it was like either Galaga or one of those. It looked kind of like that. And then they had one that looked like a Minecraft ripoff, but it wasn't, it was definitely not Minecraft kind of a thing.
Well, so like the kinds of things I might expect to see, that honestly would be kind of fun, be like Apex Legends. Or games like that that are like very streamer focused, but also somewhat cartoony, not like full like Counter-Strike or whatever. Mm-hmm. Personal wish list, I would love to see Mega Man ones. That's just a franchise that means a lot to me, and like, yes. I enjoy the Sonic ones a lot, but Sonic doesn't mean as much to me as Mega Man does. So I would love to see Mega Man ones. I think those would look really awesome.
If they got to deal with Capcom in general, because there's a lot of really good Capcom games, and like Mega Man, obviously I'm in the same boat. I would be all over that. But well, yeah.
I'll tell you what I think would be the funniest possible thing that they could do, which would be an Isabelle Doomguy crossover skin. I still think that the Isabelle Doomguy like being friends meme is like, I don't even play either of those games, but I just think that's the funniest thing. And I think an X Shot blaster that had the two of them
in the Insanity line. Amazing. If an Insanity line was to start getting skins, that would be a perfect combination right there.
The Insanity skin.
The Insanity skins line with Doom would be top tier. And then you could absolutely do like the Doom skin that he had of the unicorn, which is like pink. And it had the like unicorn. My God. Yeah. Absolutely. In the Insanity line right there. Hey, X-Shot, Zuru, I hope you're paying attention to a really good, a really good tie-in right here.
You know what I want, though? You know what I want? And this is going to come completely out of left field for people who don't really know me. I want Thomas the Tank Engine ones.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. That
I can see that.
It'd sell, probably.
All the darts need to have the face of Thomas on the dart itself.
It's got to be old Thomas. It can't be any of that new all engines go shit. None of that.
Yeah, we got to get Ringo Starr in on this.
No, got to get George Carlin. Best narrator.
You know what else? You know what else I think would be really funny would be Genshin Impact.
Oh no.
Oh my God, that'd be hilarious.
That would sell so well.
That would probably be a good tie-in. Like, in all honesty, that would probably be a good tie-in.
All of the weebs coming out of the woodworks to buy them.
It like really specifically doesn't have like gun type mm-hmm. weapons. But
neither does Poppy's
Just slap anime
time.
Girls all
neither
over it. Poppy's People will buy it. Walcom would buy it, that's for darn sure.
Yeah, Genshin Impact would look awesome on the side of these things, I think. I am really curious about whether we're going to start to see additional skins on the long shot and on the pro blasters in particular.
I mean, it does say skins, like it says,
is a skins blaster.
So yeah, like, they very well could. I'm curious because I do like the sort of space theme that they took with the first one. Yeah. I know it caused a lot of crazy speculation because, you know,
it said Orion on it.
It literally said
it might
Orion.
Be a nod, it might be coincidence, who knows.
Yeah, and I pointed that out. I was like, look, if you look at the skin, it looks very much like a spaceship, and it's unfortunate, but Orion's belt, and you know, that name is pretty common for space theme stuff. But I do like it. I am curious what they could go, and actually that ties into another one I would want to talk about is the Enigma one that I had mentioned, because if y'all haven't looked at it, I highly suggest it. Looks really cool because it looks like this almost like Cthulhu looking or, you know, mythos type of creature on it. It's really wild. Like, it takes the beast one that looks like a T-Rex mouth, and it looks much more like, you know, just grotesque.
That's
like
what
that.
We need. X-Shot skins Mr. Beast.
Yes, X-Shot skins Mr. Beast.
No, well, I would say Hasbro's already got him in the bag, though.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, darn, we can't have Mr. Beast on everything. I would buy that just for the memes.
You gotta put together the complete Mr. Beast
package
collection.
Now I have to get the Gelfire Mr. Beast edition.
You gotta get it.
I just got the Gelfire thing, and it's no, I don't need another one.
You got the wrong one, Jolt. That's what you should be saying. He's telling yourself, no. I picked up the wrong one. I should have gotten Mr. Beast.
Okay. I think that's good for tonight. That was fun. I appreciated throwing some stuff around about that. I'm going to do your shout outs for you, because every time I ask for them, I don't get
any.
Wow. Joel can't even say eating hot glue and sometimes makes YouTube videos.
But I have to say it. I'm the one who's eating the hot glue here.
I literally just said that.
Yeah, but I'm the one doing it, so I got to be the one to say it, you see.
Okay.
And I say stuff. Man. I do say stuff. I get cut off. Then I don't get a chance to say anything.
Vile streams Friday and Saturday nights on Twitch. Twitch.tv/vilemon.
Underscore mods.
Vile underscore mods. And thank you, Katie. Yeah, and I do stuff as well. Kinetic Turtle on Twitch. I stream music. And Family Foam Sport, which is pretty quiet because I'm putting a lot of time into this show, to be entirely honest. I just don't have time to do both, but this show has been honestly at least as fulfilling, so here we are. I have to finish editing the episode, so great job everybody. Good night.
Woo!
Pod has been casted.